I'm going to read from the last book in the New Testament. I'm going to read the first three verses from the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I see here in the first three verses, we are told that all the things that are written in this book would soon come to pass. Verse 3 says, for the time is at hand. And this book ends with the words, behold, I come quickly. Sometimes the most challenging aspect of faith is waiting on God's timetable. If you're like me, maybe you have asked God questions like, Lord, when will you lead me to a better job? Or Lord, when will I no longer be single? Or Lord, when will I be well again? Or when will this storm pass that's in my life? Indeed, the most challenging part of following God is not believing that he can act, but waiting on him to act. So if you found yourself waiting on God, remember that God controls time. Consider the story of Joseph for a moment. Joseph spent 13 years waiting on God's will to be fulfilled in his life. He endured a lot. He endured being forsaken by his brothers, false accusations by Potiphar's wife, forgotten promises by a fellow prisoner. The best years of his life were spent between a pit and a prison. Yet we hear Joseph say, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish that what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph recognized that everything he endured all became a part of God's plan to save his people. So if you have found yourself waiting for the redemption of the body, if you have waited for the coming of the Lord, you don't have to wait long. These things in the book of Revelation must soon come to pass, for the day is at hand. The book of Revelation was written to encourage the Christians to be faithful. The book of Revelation points to the glorious world which is to come, a world in which there is no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And if you believe that, take courage. The Lord will return to conclude world's history and the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. The intensity of the prophet's experience is matched only by the richness of the symbolisms he uses to warn his readers of the impending disasters that will require their steadfast allegiance to the risen Lord. The Lord will come in power and majesty. Not only that, the book of Revelation reflects the basic apostolic teachings which can be attested throughout the New Testament. The events accomplished by God as they pertain to the person of Jesus Christ have all been done in the fulfillment of Scripture. God has acted for our salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. the same Jesus Christ that is now the exalted Lord, having ascended to the right hand of God and taken his place on his throne, he now executes the purposes of God as the living Lord of the universe. Revelations has been called an apocalypse, but perhaps more than any other book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation may be called a book of Christian worship, because we find in this book visions, prophecies, exhortations, and prayer are all frequently interspersed with heavenly courses of praise and adoration. In chapter 4, the Father is worshipped in praise for his creative power and sovereign person. In chapter 5, the Lamb is worshipped for his faithfulness unto death, a sacrifice of great redeeming power for the redemption of his people. In chapter 11, again we find that the Almighty is worshipped for his triumphing over evil through Christ. In chapter 12, heaven rejoices at the expulsion of Satan. And in chapter 19, the saints rejoice at the judgment of the great harlot upon the coming of Christ. Chapter 14, the saints rejoice with a new song of salvation and their redemption from the beast. Then, as now, God is worthy of all praise and devotion, for he has mercifully accomplished salvation for all who would approach him through Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, we're going to worship God. I have had frequent discussions with others on what we think it would be like when we get to heaven. Of course, everybody has their opinions on what they will do when they get there, but I'm not sure what I'll do. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing before my dear Savior. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for Jesus, or will I stand in awe? Will I stand in his presence, or will I fall down on my knees in worship? Will I sing hallelujah, or will I be able to speak at all? It's going to be a marvelous day. I don't know all the things we'll be doing, but I do know that the primary thing that all of God's children will do will worship and serve him. Anything other than that, we can only imagine, because it has not entered into the hearts or into the minds of any of us all of the things that await us in that great city. I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but tomorrow I'll be speaking some more on heaven. Here in the city of Bristol, there's a sign that hangs across State Street, and it tells us that Bristol, Virginia/Tennessee is a good place to live. It's a good place to retire to. By the end of my lesson tomorrow, you will agree that heaven also is a good place to live. It's a good place to retire to. In fact, it's out of this world.